everybody, and welcome to a very beautiful and special episode of Bex Reaction. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Adam.
Now, boys, now that Dusha isn't here, what do we think of the D&D movie Dungeons & Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves?
Get upset if we express our opinions on it in front of him.
Joel Dusha, he gracefully bowed out of this based reaction.
Positive or negative, if he is a single thing about thoughts on the Dungeons and Dragons, I saw him kill a guy. You ever see Dave and Margaret at the movies?
Yeah.
Dave's dead.
Oh, no.
Whoa,
Dave's real dead.
Oh, that might be true already. Pour a health potion out for our boy, Dave.
Doesn't he have a YouTube channel or something?
I wouldn't know.
Anyway.
Yeah, so
Dave
wasn't
dead before he is. Sorry.
We went to the Dungeons & Dragons movie, Honor Among Thieves. I was really excited because we saw Shazam 2 recently, and we saw that in an empty cinema. And we went to see this one really early as well, and I was hoping beyond hope.
So
we'd get another empty cinema.
I was shocked the moment, because like I had to pee because I was a bit late.
Yeah.
And my wife was with me, and she's like, oh, where are we sitting? I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah,
there'll be
matter.
No one in there. I'll be right there. I get a text while I'm in mid-piss being like, the cinema's kind of busy, and I can't see them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
It was crazy.
Shocking.
I mean, it wasn't like packed by any means. There were maybe two other groups aside from us.
I thought we were about us other people, I thought.
No, there was a decent amount.
Huh, really?
Yeah.
I thought there were only like two, I suppose, fair enough.
A bunch of people.
Yeah.
I was like, shocked.
Yeah, me too. Not necessarily shocked. Because I didn't think anyone cared about this
movie.
It was
10 a.m.
It's just 10 a.m. It's the worst time to see a movie.
10 a.m. on a, what's that?
Friday. It's a horrible time to see a movie in the morning. I like it because seeing a movie at night, then that extends the day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's less relaxing time.
Mm.
But in the morning.
Most people are seeing a film to relax.
Yeah.
Not us.
Not me. Seeing a movie is work.
Oh, hell.
But yeah, so I was shocked that there were so many people there. Before we get into what we thought about it,
yes.
What were your expectations going into it?
Let's see. I think I had...
Sometimes you got no expectations.
My expectations were on the floor because I was like, it looks like it's going to be at least fun and engaging and interesting, right? I quite like three of the main cast. And that opinion has not changed after seeing the
That's
film.
Good.
It's great that this movie hasn't made you hate one of those three people.
Dude, or like anymore.
It happens so often.
But yeah, it's like the was looking forward to seeing the three main cast members, and after seeing the film, like those are the best parts of that film.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think when we did the BS about it, and the whole discussion, and it's been on the wider internet, like, oh, the last scene, like the big reveal, will pull away, and it'll be
fuckos
playing D&D. Yeah. And I think if it was like that, I would have vomited and left the cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
Your spirit would have left you.
I'd become ash and go out the chimney of the cinema. Our cinema had a roaring fire. I don't know
really
if that's normal
pleasant.
In other countries, but in Australia, we get a big fire in the middle of cinemas,
I heard, I think it was maybe from Adam, that wasn't the end.
Yeah.
So my expectations rose a little higher.
Yeah, for sure.
Once I found that out.
I think I feel like a D&D movie it's got like the potential to do a lot of things that will piss me the heck off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it did.
No, I had a good time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I could feel the vibe when I went to piss after we left that I saw. I don't know if this was what you were talking about, but the two of you leant over and said something, and I was like, I bet they think I hated this movie.
I did come out of this assuming.
Yeah, I had a good time.
The vibes felt off. From you, I guess.
I just am not very vocal. You, when you watch, and I am so jealous of this, Adam.
Sure.
When we saw, what movie did we see?
Quantumania.
Quantumania. And you were laughing and yucking it up and getting excited and reacting to the screen. When I watch a movie these days, dude, there's just numbness. It's so hard for me to really react to what's
going on. Do I enjoy entertainment? Yeah. I don't know.
After
anymore.
Shazam, we didn't talk about this in the BR for Shazam, but when we got in the cars, Abbott was like, do I enjoy entertainment? That's how burned out our fun receptors are, man.
From all the fun that you've already had. Wow. You can't register how much fun you were having.
That's true. Yes. No, but yeah, so this movie had a lot of potential to be very in-jokey, very not within its own world, very the audience, to make these references that are kind of like you're saying, like if they'd cut to everybody playing D&D at any point in the movie, I would have been like, what am I doing here life?
Well, I'm leaving. Yeah, I don't care how this movie sucks. Ends now. Yeah. I don't care.
Or if they, like, I don't know, had, like, because this movie was full of, like, sort of winks and nods to the fact that it was obviously set in the world of D&D and it was a D&D movie. Mm. But if that had been more explicit or done in a more like kind of like wink wink nudge nudge kind of way, I would have hated that too. So there's a lot of potential. So I was nervous to how much I would
that
like
needle for
they
you.
They really did. This movie had such a the risk reward was intense. But yeah, so going into it, I was a bit nervous, but in the end, I was pleasantly surprised.
I had heard good things about the movie, so I was assuming at a base level, I was assuming I was going to have a 3 out of 5 experience.
Yeah.
I was assuming nothing worse than that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Assuming a 3 out of 5 is awesome.
Because this is my 6th D&D movie now. 2 animated, 3 live action, then this one, maybe 4 live action. And some of those previous movies, if it was at least as good as some of the previous movies, I would have been fine. And it surpassed. I would say it's the best out of all of them.
Did the other D&D movies ever get that kind of like up their own asshole? Sorry, I say asshole like the baby from Meet the Fockers.
Sure. Okay. No, I know.
Asshole. Remember who does that bit?
No.
You don't remember Meet the Fockers?
No, I don't.
Asshole.
I remember this,
He teaches the baby asshole accidentally.
That's nice. Yeah.
Fucking, what's his face is mad, the dad of the Fockers.
Yeah.
De Niro.
De
Niro. And then the dad of the other one's that other actor.
I was in Tootsie.
Yeah. What's his name?
Mr. Imaginary.
What are you doing?
Rain Man.
What's his name? I keep wanting to say Sean Penn, but that's not right.
Sure, but he looks like Sean Penn.
He's got a Sean Penn style
name. He's got Sean
name.
Penn vibes.
Brendo?
Like Philip Pullman? No.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No. Why are we drawing a blank on... Nah, I thought I'd
famous myself. Actor.
Trick yourself into saying it. Oh, famous actor known as. anyway,
wow,
he's
can
the
you
dad
name
of
a movie he was in now, other than Meet the Focus, because I can't remember.
Mr. Imaginarium's Wonderpantarium
with Natalie Portman.
Didn't he die?
No. What in Mr. Imaginarium's Wonderpantarium?
No, making a Heath Ledger.
Reference. Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
No, not that one. A different one.
The Megorium Emporium.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. It's got a name like the Megorium Emporium.
It's not the Megorium Emporium,
but it's close to the Megorium Emporium.
It's not the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
No,
that's
not
the Heath Ledger movie. There's, I will admit, very similar names.
Did people just...
Hoffman. No.
Hoffman was so close.
Oh, if only it were Hoffman. If only we were done.
Listen, it's so funny.
Everyone is screaming.
This episode also started so sanely. It was
okay,
so
Google.
Stable for so long, and then we just started
Who played
screaming
Mr.
gibberish.
Falker and Meet the Falkers?
What's his name?
Mr. Falker.
Yeah.
Just type it.
Yeah.
It's funnier
he's
to
in
do
Stray
this.
Dogs, the original. He is Rain Man.
I'm gonna get him.
Underwear and Highway.
I mean, he
Dustin
was...
Hoffman.
It was Hoffman.
Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman.
That must have been doubly frustrating for the listeners when you said Hoffman and we said wrong.
Barbara fucking Streisand is in that movie?
Yeah, she's the mama fucker.
What the fuck? She is. She plays as Roz Fokker.
Yeah. I'm sweaty. Poor me too. Anyway, does Robert De Niro eat a foreskin in that movie?
Oh, God.
By accident.
I hoped that you meant that, yeah.
I hope not.
Anyway,
D&D. The D&D movie, yeah.
Yes. So, yes, that was my question.
What was
Did
the question?
Previous D&D movies go up their own assholes?
Ah, right. I remember how this happened.
Let's get it back.
Wrap it
up in a neat bow.
So the first D&D movie, the first one ever, actually wasn't a D&D movie. It was bad fantasy
Yeah,
movie.
It's got like Jeremy Irons, the guy that
played...
Is that
like Tom Hanks as well?
No, it's got Jimmy Olsen.
It's got Jeremy Irons in it.
Yeah, Jeremy Irons is a villain.
It's got
Jimmy
Olsen.
Yeah, one of the
Wayne Brothers. Yeah.
Jimmy Olsen from The Adventures of Lois and Superman.
Oh, wow.
Like that guy. He's the main rogue character.
Okay.
Um,
oh, Damn, then, he is too.
Yeah. And then cause I always like sometimes I forget.
He's a good rogue archetype.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got...
If you go on a bit more like very sort of like black leather armor.
Yeah.
sort of thing.
I always kind of forget like this and Aragorn. Somewhat confused because Jeremy Irons is in both.
Fair enough.
Wait, when's he doing that? No. Was
that's
that...
in Aragorn.
Oh, damn.
Okay.
Because that's a good scene.
Yeah.
He plays a character called Brom.
Yeah, Brom.
Oh, okay. That's good. It's a good name, Brom.
He's got a cool sword.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so the first one basically isn't actually a D&D. It's got the name D&D on it.
But it's not really a
D&D. It's fantasy.
The second one, see, I don't know what you mean by going up its own asshole, because you could say yes.
Yeah.
But, so... Like, literally, in the second live-action D&D movie, they're in a dungeon or whatever, and one of them's about to reach for a chest, and the other one's like, stop. I'm a rogue. I can deal with it. They're, like, very...
Yeah, that's what I mean by going up its own arse.
Well, in that case, if that's what you define, the second one, it's like an Ouroboros. You cannot tell where arse ends and mouth begins.
Whoa.
It's really right up its own. But I loved that. I loved the second one. Something about a character being like, don't worry, as a paladin, I have this ability once a day. Something about that as a line movie, it's very funny.
Has any of the other D&D movies ever pulled that thing me and Zamot were scared of, where it's like, he has a bunch of people playing the game?
No. So
that's good. I'm glad that they stay away from that, because what's the point of that?
It's like, it's a bad idea. Stop thinking it's a good idea. If you thought it was a good idea, you're wrong. It was a bad idea. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Lego movie?
It's only featured, the only D&D movie that I know that features that is my attempt at a D&D movie on Movie Maintenance.
Yeah. Well, we're calling your idea.
The only one enough of a hack to plan that is me.
Sorry, Adam.
Think the idea is stupid.
It was bad. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm not a professional screenwriter. That's allowed.
Is it to do? I don't know. Did people just see like the Lego movie and like the third act reveal of that being like, you know, the dad's thing that he was playing with and the kid being like, oh, loved it.
Yeah.
Is it that's where it's coming from?
Maybe. Because I don't know. It's a hard thing to fathom. I think part of it is like, I get the disconnect here, because I have this disconnect a little bit. I really enjoyed this movie. This is not a criticism of this movie, but it was something I was concerned about, where I have the disconnect of, I'm like, this is a game. It's like when a video game movie or TV show comes out, which I know you can do. Hey, The Last of Us was really well received, but I'm always like, why am I watching a movie? This is not like the format that this particular piece of media is designed to be enjoyed in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
why am I watching this when I could be playing
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, that's not why I like this, so why am I doing it in this form? So I feel like the making it like come like, you know, the reveal that it's all a D&D game is like the concentrated version of that, like, hey, it is D&D, because people have that disconnect of like, but it is a game, but the movie is not about the game. It's just set in the game. But if the movie, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the kind of why people want that to truly establish the link or to explain like this is it's a movie of the game, not a movie using the game as a setting to tell a movie.
No, you've really lost me.
I'm on that train, and I'm like, 50%. Dude, let's drive this train.
Choo-choo.
Let's leave everyone behind.
It's me and Sam in a million years. So long, Adam.
Forever, all eternity.
Enjoy the station.
Oh, no. Douche is standing on the station. If I tell him my D&D movie opinions, he's going to David from David and Margaret at the movies me.
That is true.
That was brutal.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I don't know. It's a kind of weird thing. Like, say, the Warcraft movie is a good example of, like, fantasy setting and, like, one that I'm like, yay, Warcraft! And then you see it and you're like, this is garbage!
Yeah.
Because they were just trying to, I don't know what they were trying to do.
I guess it's the kind of thing where it's like, you need to actually make the... You can't rely, and Marvel movies have started doing this a little bit, where you can't rely on people just recognizing elements of a thing they love in a production. That's not going to get you over the line anymore. I think that's why so many of those video game movies, like Prince of Persia or whatever, nobody gives a fuck about that movie, because it's not enough of a story to get you over the line.
I think they had a lot, I'm sure the two of you would not have noticed all of it, but the D&D movie did have a lot of those, like... Oh, if you know D&D, you'll know what's happening now.
I think they did it in a really... But it was really well-balanced.
It was like, at no point did they assume, or at no point does the story require any of that knowledge.
Yeah. Mm. And there's no, like, dwelling on it, which I liked. Like, there's no, they'll mention, you know, fucking, like, for example, when the two main characters are leaving the ICE prison at the beginning of the movie, there's that, the pan out to a map before the opening title.
Yes.
And you see on the map that they were in, what the fuck's
Icewind
it called?
Dale.
Icewind Dale.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if I'm just watching this as a movie, that it means nothing to me. But if I know D&D, I'm like, oh, Icewind Dale, nice.
Yeah.
That's a location. But there's no, like, where are we? In the Icewind Dale. And then everyone looks at the screen like,
yeah.
You know, guys?
This prison is called Gablagamon.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Reminds me of something, a compliment that you have given me sometimes about games that a compliment you've given me about games that I run is that you're like, oh, Adam, you're really good at being like, well, this thing would be here, so you just bump into it, and it gives a cool feeling of a united world. For example,
I was just about to say, like, for those of you who are like, who's this Adam fella?
Yeah, we do another,
we do another podcast called D&D is for Nerds, and Adam is our dungeon daddy.
Yeah.
So. Yes. As dungeon daddy, I am aware. So they, an item that they needed in the movie or whatever was a Mordenkainen, I think they called it Mordenkainen's, but the helm of seal, the helmet, which disjunction is actually a spell that is also tied to Mordenkainen.
Yeah, I see.
And disjunction is a spell that turns off magic, just because I, as a D&D
father,
D&D, I'm like, oh, that's cool that the helm is also Mordenkainen's object and the spell.
So you can make that connection.
Yeah, the spell does what the spell does in the game, yada, yada, yada. I was like, that's just very cool. But then if you don't know that shit, you're like, oh, they need the helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you need to know.
Which is kind of like, I like that in that sort of like, you know, with games that you run as well, Adam, it's like kind of, there's that lore stuff if you, you know, you don't either engage enough or you miss your role or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get it.
Get
the backstory. Yeah. You need to know it. You're like, what's that? I wasn't paying that much. I'll get the helmet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
you want to know about the helmet?
No, if it works, that's good. It was nice that the movie was like, it trusted the audience enough that we're not going to be like, what's this helmet? Why do they need a magic helmet? We all know the trope of needing a magic item to do a thing. Yeah. So they can just give it to us and we'll just accept it without having to dwell too much on it. Yeah,
the reason I bring it up is because, that ties into your thing of your complimenting of me or whatever, where you're like, then they need to get past the magical barrier. The spell that is made by the same person who made the barrier would also
this
item or whatever would be very helpful.
Yeah.
So that's just, it makes sense that all of this ties together.
Like some things, like I guess in terms of criticism, like but not because like it was a little hokey at times, but like it kind of lent into it, which
was
nice.
I sort of didn't really mind how hokey it was. This movie, weirdly, and I started to think this
something that worried me about it is that there were more than a little bit of quipping.
No, but the quipping in it was not. It's becoming harder and harder to define a quip in today's you know hustle and bustle, quip heavy sort of era of cinema. But I didn't find the quips in this particularly egregious.
I think what you seem to find annoying, correct me if I'm wrong, Jackson, but you don't like quips in the movie if they're not directed in world.
Yes,
you don't like quips if they are a wink and a nudge for the audience.
Absolutely.
Sure.
If they don't, like if the joke doesn't work in world and it's really just for us, you're like, ugh.
It just stands out. It ruins the immersion.
A quip in the movie for the movie, like, for example, Chris Pine when old mate's about to explain the Red Wizards.
Yeah.
Chris Pine's character being like, we know they're bad. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
That to me is fine because he doesn't give, like, he's like, whatever.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
But his character doesn't care.
But he's like, oh, it's exposition for us.
Absolutely,
as well.
For sure.
I'm like, look, you know, you're doing a lot of exposition, but you're tying it in a nicer way. And I like some of like the flashbacks they did as well.
Another thing that another weakness I would say of the movie that I heard the two of you mention and that I would agree with, though with like a maybe a weird caveat, is that the two of you are like the two non-famous faces in the main cast. I forget their names.
Simon and Druid,
who I think are still like they're
something. Her name's
Doric.
That's it. Yeah. Simon and Doric, they are definitely, compared to the veteran
Michelle Rodriguez,
very
and
charismatic.
This is weird, right, though? As we're discussing it, though, we're using their character names, but with Chris Pine, I'm not saying Ed and don't really remember Michelle Rodriguez's name
or something.
Yeah,
so all wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, the obviously compared to the big famous faces, they it was like they were taking the oxygen out of the room for everyone else. But also with the druid, I kept something that kept popping up for me. Something that was bothering me is I was like, when is she gonna get to talk again? I kept being like, what? I mean, I get it because she can wild shape and they make a lot of use of that wild shape. But because they're trying to give characters even space, she of some of her even space is taken up as she's a deer.
She definitely felt, I would say, like the sort of, you know, fourth of the sort of like protagonist character. She had the least sort of.
I would say that character really could have maybe baked a bit longer.
It would have been nice. It would have been nicer because she's an animal for so much.
Yeah.
To have had her earlier introduced. So we could have been with her.
I think
for
as
a bit
well,
longer.
Just like a lot of her backstory was. Like, every character kind of had to work through stuff and you learn more about them as the story went on. But you learn her backstory so that she could join the party and then in the end it was resolved. Yeah. There wasn't really much in the in terms of growth for her.
Absolutely.
I didn't find it particularly egregious or even the wizard particularly egregious. I was just like, well, they're clearly not Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah. So, like, they're just not going to be able to kind of, or Hugh Grant or whatever.
Hugh Grant was incredible.
Yeah, Hugh Grant was great.
Hugh Grant clearly, maybe I'm wrong, maybe the two of you, because we've had this conversation before. Where you're like, this actor clearly was not having fun. And I'm like, I can't see that. That's so strange. Maybe it's going to be the same thing. But Hugh Grant seemed like he was having a fucking blast.
Yeah, he was having a blast. Yeah, absolutely.
It looked like the majority of actors seemed to enjoy making this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, you compare this because the movie we spoke about where we were like, that actor wanted to die or whatever, was Ant-Man and Quantumania.
Well, that's the last time. We've had this conversation a great deal many times.
But if you think about the difference, and this is, I think, my favorite thing about this movie is Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania seems like it was filmed exclusively on green screens.
Sure.
Whereas
I was going to get into this as well,
this movie is like packed with practical effects.
They also go to
the
Tabaxi, so many locations.
The fucking Arakocra, the Dragonborn. Yeah. That's all practical
effects.
So many
of the monsters as well are practical effects. Like, it was really, really cool. Even stuff that you're like, it's fucked up that these days it wouldn't be. Like costume.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like weapons and stuff that people had.
The movie looked great.
It looked really good.
It was very pretty.
It looked really good. It looked really
nice. I do wish there is a moment where there's a great design for a dragon at one point that I have absolutely loved, and they have a lot of fun with it. But there is a little bit of fat phobic sort of joking going on around it. I did not appreciate that.
But
aside from that, I thought it was a very fun scene.
The dragon was great. The dragon was awesome.
Oh, when he rolled.
It was cute. It was so cute. He was a great dragon. Then hit the... rather than just breathing fire, I thought it was so creative that he has
did a little gas thing. And then
gas and then... I thought that was really creative. I love that.
The movie did this thing as well that I thought I would really dislike, but it's, I don't know, somehow it made it work, where it's quite frenetic with the amount of locations they visit. Like, they're just here, now they're here, now they're here, now they're here, and nothing really feels like it's very far away from anything else. And you don't really get a sense of how everything connects, but it was not as annoying as I thought something like that would be.
Say, like, I don't know, Game of Thrones
last
season.
Yeah, where I'm like, well, how are we here, or whatever. It was just like, we're going here now, now we're in the underdog, now we're in this grave.
Game of Thrones, I think, is egregious because they start the show
absolutely.
Being like, oh my god, we're so far away from everything.
I think I remember very early on when we started doing, like, the whole D&D podcast, it was that kind of, oh yeah, D&D, it's a game where traveling for a month or like 6 months is about 5 minutes. Four rounds of combat. Oh, we're here for an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, that kind of like when you sort of like quickly jumped from, you know, the frozen tundras of Icewind Dale to like Neverwinter, going into that castle there. And I'm like,
I guess we're there now. Cool, fair enough.
Yeah,
like,
but there wasn't that much in terms of like that journey, that
but
like long...
Which I guess just that's just not what the movie was really about. And
I think... in its positive side, like this movie knew what it wanted to do. Which is, I can't often say that about more recent films we've seen.
Absolutely.
Just like maybe, you know, the director, writer, did they know what they were doing? I don't know. Was it someone high up being like, you need to include these few things?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas this one felt...
it's that weird thing where even though this was equally pumped out by a corporation, you know, that's how movies happen. This one felt far less like it was, you know what I mean?
I think it was written by a guy that was in Sweets and Bones and...
I don't know.
Freaks
Bones,
and Geeks.
I'm sorry.
I know Freaks and Geeks.
I think he also like wrote some of the Spider-Man, the more recent Spider-Man stuff, I think.
Cool. Anyway.
But yeah, so it looked like the person who, you know, the creative team behind this.
Yeah,
like, sure. They've been playing D&D for a long, long time, and they seem to like, kind of care about
absolutely
the
yeah, yeah.
medium and the stories you can tell.
There was
the table.
A lot. I mean, at no point, obviously, to credit to the movie for regular audience, there was a lot of like just casually mentioned deep lore sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That they never really go into, but yeah, you can tell that. You can tell that they're very acquainted with and happy to reference the larger world.
Which
yeah.
I kind of like in terms of, because it makes the world feel real, right?
Yeah, so yeah,
if you're,
yeah.
If like, you know, the moment someone takes off their cowl and they've got the markings of the red wizard, everyone's like, holy shit, they're from Thay! And then they attack.
Which always made me laugh because like, you see anyone with a cowl, you got to be a little bit suspicious.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which, you know, I like that as opposed to they take off their, oh my God, that marking there, you know that marking belongs to the Red Wizards of Thay? The Red Wizards of Thay. Well, let me tell you about them. And
absolutely.
Then,
it was a world that was, it was a movie that was very much like dedicated to the world it was, it was,
no
it was
one
making,
felt
you know?
Like they didn't live in that world, if that makes sense. Which
absolutely.
Is sometimes in, especially with their fantasy like story or other films, that you just kind of like, oh, it's you're not living in that world, or like, how do you not know about that thing, which would clearly be obvious that you would know about that thing
for sure, absolutely. And it was like a consistency across everything as well that it was really nice too. Yeah,
there were a few story beats that I quite appreciated. There, a few moments in the movie, I had there's one I can remember. There were two I remember having that were big where I was like, oh, that's a weird thing that they then go on to answer. I forget one of them, but the other one was Chris Pine's character. His motivation is he wants to resurrect his wife.
Yeah.
And he keeps talking about it. He keeps phrasing it in ways where he's like, I want my daughter to have her mom back or whatever, yada, yada, yada. And the entire time I was like, but she didn't know.
Yeah,
Your wife died when she was still a baby. She knows Michelle Rodriguez's character much better.
Yeah.
And then he has this really cool scene a bit later on where he's like, I've been selfish.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to resurrect your mother. I was trying to resurrect my wife.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a cool, nice. Quite kind of complicated for like a sort of like emotional arc, which, I really liked. I thought it was awesome. And this is not a criticism at all. This is actually the opposite. But I thought it was awesome that Michelle Rodriguez was bringing big Fast and the Furious energy.
It was great.
To her barbarian character.
Michelle Rodriguez has been doing that thing since long before.
It was just so funny to just, I'm like, this could be Letty. This could just be Letty.
This could be her character from Resident Evil.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. It was just so funny to see that. That's what she does. She does it well.
She does, though,
She nails it.
One thing I was like, another reservation I had going in was perhaps the overuse of, say, like rock music.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the trailer that came out. Mm. You know, we had like very much like Led Zeppelin and that kind of thing. And I was like, are we going to have this kind of, you know, jukebox musical kind of thing? Is that going to happen? Oh, no.
No, it was actually quite good.
Interesting. They're using music that's in that universe. Yeah. Like there's people who are playing certain instruments in that world that then become the soundtrack. And
absolutely,
I'm like, oh,
that's really nice.
That's kind of cool. And all mate with his lute. That's kind of cool.
Well, it's such a funny thing where like you assume they're going to go for this jukebox musical, but like if you're watching, like if you like fantasy, you want fantasy music in that fantasy. Like it's so funny that people don't seem to get that sometimes. Like when they're making movies or whatever, when they're making fantasy films, they're like, "You're like I." People like Lord of the Rings for its soundtrack because its soundtrack is an epic fantasy soundtrack. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's why we like it. We don't wish it was I don't know. Yeah, it's a funny thing.
Something I did sorry, just going quickly back to dislikes.
Please.
There was one, a lot of
there
the effects.
No rules.
Yeah, baby.
A lot of the effects, digital and practical, were very good. One effect that I just wish they'd gotten whoever they got to do Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
The height difference when a character is like a halfling.
That was weird.
At all points, that looked weird.
Well,
that's
going to be such a tricky thing. I was thinking that as well because in D&D, halflings and dwarves and gnomes or whatever, they have different proportions.
They do.
Well. They don't just look like tiny people. Mm. They're kind of like squatter or more
they've
broad.
Got, like the proportions that are like a small human.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in this, they just sort of like downgraded them a size and they just look like a tiny regular human being. Which I was like, that's funny if they're ever going to do any sequels and they've already established that's what a halfling or whatever looks like.
He could change
I think
it.
They will.
They
I assume
could
they will.
Change
they
that like that.
They probably won't need to stick to that. But I thought the size difference stuff was
well, because The Lord of the Rings was all practical, right?
Yeah.
They really did like a lot of like in-camera
effects. Perspective and stuff, yeah.
Whereas this, I don't know if they did, they didn't look like it.
It did, yeah, definitely.
I don't think they definitely weren't doing much.
And I get it makes sense because the scene we're referring to is when Michelle Rodriguez goes to see her ex, who is like a halfling. Mm.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation, and then the halfling's new wife is also this huge lady. It's a funny bit or whatever. But I think what made him seem even stranger proportion-wise is that he was sitting on a chair designed for somebody much bigger than him.
Yes.
So it kind of threw it off a little bit. And I get that's because, well, his wife needs chairs that fit her.
Yeah.
But I was like, it...
Well, yeah, because like he built that house for Michelle Rodriguez when they were like living together. But like, but you live there too, dude.
Yeah, I know. Whereas if you look at Lord of the Rings, like it's always Gandalf in a hobbit hole or whatever. That's where you notice the size difference the most.
I guess you can kind of play that off or whatever as being like, well, it's a mixed community, so you might make it accustomed.
Yeah,
because it's not too much of an issue for a halfling to get onto a human-sized chair.
Yeah.
But it might be a bit of an issue for a human to use a halfling-sized chair.
Yeah. Good point.
Whereas with something like Hobbiton?
Hobbiton.
Yeah, sorry. Hobbit with something like Hobbiton, it is it's a segregated community. Let's call a fish a fish here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everything can be proportioned.
Designed for hobbits, yeah. But no, I agree. I think, hopefully the next time if they do another movie, they'll figure it out.
Mm. Another thing I did like is I thought the combat scenes were really good. Anything with Michelle Rodriguez fighting, I thought all of her fight scenes were great. A lot of really brutal takedowns. Yeah.
I like the first one we see, which is asking about like the axe.
Yes. Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then the other scene where she is equipping herself with like basically donning armor as she's fighting, I thought was quite funny
as well. Yeah.
That scene had a great ending where her axe had been in like lava or whatever. Yeah. She pulls it out. It's got all this damage on it from the lava, but it looks cool.
Yeah. She's like, I'll take it.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Quite like that. Like all the fight scenes with her was really good. Mm. Fight scenes with Zenk, the Paladin. I thought those were also like very, very cool. I don't know if I like his character or don't like his character. It's a straight, because I'm like, it's that kind
it
of
feels
like,
very D&D, but also it feels a little abrasive D&D.
It's very like, you know, Mary Sue kind of like, this is the like, you know, character, like, you know, author insert
of
kind
of
thing.
But they do when he's walking away on that beach and they're like, oh look, he's just walking in a straight line, he's coming to a rock, what's he gonna do?
Yeah, that was quite a funny, like, and when it goes back and the perspective is on Simon, you can still see him walking in a straight line behind. So, I quite liked his character because, again, in a usual fantasy setting, like, oh, yeah, there's the hero. There's your following. And I like that it was like, well, I'm leaving. They're like, no, don't go.
Yeah,
like,
you
do a bit better. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Not my place. I'm like, fair enough.
Trying to remember the predictions that we didn't write them down, but the predictions that we made, I think... From memory, the predictions that I made, at least, I got a lot of them. Not all of them, but I did get a lot of them. Giving that lich woman or whatever, I forget her name, giving her that horn, I did predict. It was like, they got the horn to give to her.
Yep.
And they're like, oh no, we shouldn't have done that.
I predicted. You did predict that.
Mm-hmm. I did predict the Hugh Grant was like friend, then foe.
Yeah.
I predicted that. I fucked up though. I was like, the paladin character, I reckon he's going to be like a thief paladin.
Yeah, no.
He was just a regular paladin.
Regular, handsome, incredibly good paladin.
I also feel like this one could kind of go either way, but I feel like I 50-50 got fucked up the arena.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, that's going to be the, like, fight a displacer beast, fight a mimic, fight a beholder. Yeah. Like, the just, oh,
the
let's
classic,
show you all
the
classic
D&D
monsters.
Yeah, for
which,
sure. Yeah, that reminds me.
It kind of was, but kind of wasn't.
I was like, oh, yeah, beholder. They didn't even have a beholder, but they mentioned
the same
it.
Thing.
They did mention a beholder.
At no old point, mate, had a beholder.
Old mate fought a beholder, and it was like, oh, yeah, cool. Once again, it's that kind of just nicer world building.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's simpler world building.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, just adding on to that, they fight a gelatinous cube, but no one calls it a gelatinous.
It's just
if you know, you know. If you don't know, you're like, oh, it's a cube of acid.
I don't need to worry about the specifics.
There's like a, I think the one thing that I'm like, okay, that's, I don't know if it either felt very like, is this D&D or is this kind of just like a bit hokey or not, did it work or whatever. But every time they basically got a new quest, someone knew a thing. It's kind of like... Mm. We need to, this helmet will help us out.
Oh, we know where to go.
One person just happens to know where the helmet is, so we got to go there. And then, like, okay, that person, it's this paladin has it. oh, a bunch of people kind of already heard about this paladin. Mm. So it's kind of like, that felt a bit like a little bit on the nose, it's kind of like D&D on the nose.
Yeah, it's this kind of weird thing where it kind of feel like maybe the movie gets away with a lot by being like, you don't really have to take this movie terribly seriously.
Yeah.
Sure,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Again,
the tone. The tone was
the tone of
fun.
This movie is like, this is just, the thing I kept thinking about it, that or comparing it to in my head toward the end of it, was the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Really?
Well, where they're just
high
like,
praise from you.
Yeah, where they're like, we're just gonna have fun. It's just gonna be a fun, it's like the movie that, like a movie that I'm assuming bills itself as an adventure movie that really felt like an adventure movie more than any other movie in that kind of genre that I've seen in a long time. Mm. So I think, part of that means that it gets away with kind of a little hokiness because you're like, well, I don't actually really care so much about how they get to these places. Yeah. Obviously, I want it to be logically consistent. Don't give me a fucking Ant-Man Quantumania or whatever, or Thor Love and Thunder. That's not what I'm here for. But if somebody says they know the character and I'm like, theoretically they could, that's
look,
enough.
The guy had a big name for himself.
Sure,
he was
that's,
like a big,
that's enough to get me there, you know?
I was a little annoyed that he quite clearly was a human but had lived for hundreds of years. That bothered me a little bit.
Maybe he did it with a spell.
Yeah,
I don't know, dude.
That's all I'm saying is it's just inconsistent and they should fix that. They should have to. They a line should be inserted off screen.
Yeah.
You hear Chris Pine say, "And also, he has magic that makes him live long."
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure a wild shape they can only transform 2 times a day.
Yeah,
is
that's
that correct.
True.
So, I don't
maybe she's a high level druid. I don't know.
I don't recall if it was the official Wizards of the Coast or if it was some other person who. Someone just made like a druid that can wild shape into a owlbear and was like, "There, it's fine. It's raw now.
Accept
you're allowed
it.
To
enjoy."
I did love the invasion of the body snatchers type screech.
Oh yeah, that's right. When she found the fly,
there's a wild shape person
right,
in the river.
Yes.
that was
pretty
cool.
Up.
Yeah,
really
it was a kind of a fun scene as she escaped.
Changing from animal to animal to animal.
Yeah, so that was like that's kind of you know really cool. That kind of like you know again mechanically like I kind of wished like you know as a druid if you're playing
D&D. That
is kind of the thing you kind of almost want to be like,
absolutely. Eagle to horse to dog or whatever. Yeah.
Man back to horse.
Yeah. Horse to man to horse. Mm.
I wonder how
just
long
like
she
evolution.
Had... I wonder how long she has to pretend to be a horse when we first meet her or whatever.
Yeah,
she's pretending to be some guard's horse or whatever. I wonder how long, because she was like full on in gear.
Yeah.
How long
true.
Did she have to be a horse to get
quite
all that armor?
A while.
Probably
would have
been
ages,
infiltrating for maybe a day.
Yeah. Maybe she was
it's
deep undercover and had been doing it for the last year. We don't know.
See,
we
this
may
is
never
what,
know.
Yeah, so this is like that would have been more interesting. Like, I think this character, like the druid, they could have had a lot more, maybe a little bit more time spent, or maybe like try to like the character of that person. Because like each one we had like, okay, you've got Chris Pine is Ed the Bard being like, you know, I miss my dead wife and I gotta
miss my wife.
I miss my wife and I gotta rescue my child. I'm a bit of a thief, rah rah. You then got
Michelle Rodriguez,
very much a, like, hey, I was outcast from my my tribe because of the man I loved, and then I kind of, you know, through basically like, you know, through my own actions, didn't really deal with that and kind of longed too much for the past and sort of like basically forgot what I had in my hands. And then you've kind of got Simon, who is like, I'm a wizard.
I'm
I come
to
from
be
this
a good wizard.
Bloodline
yeah.
of a great wizards, and the biggest problem right now is me having self-doubt. And then you have a druid being like, I was raised by humans. They were kind of shitty, so I went to the wood elf.
I guess her problem was racism, really, wasn't it?
I hate
she was racist.
Yeah, all humans suck.
She was racist?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, I hate human beings. Yeah.
Because her parents abandoned her.
Well, obviously she's got, she's got some reason to feel that way, but it's still
but,
racist.
But yeah, she's like, I don't, she's like kept like the line where kept being, I hate all humans.
Yeah, she was racist.
I mean.
Which is, I guess.
That's so funny. But she's not racist in the end. Not, she's a bit racist.
Yeah. She's like, it's okay. One of my best friends is a human.
That's right. That rules. That's very funny.
But like, yeah, that whole. Like storyline, like, you know, you could have played. You didn't necessarily need all that weird, like, mistrust for the humans, but you could have just had like
or
a,
do something with it.
Or do something with it.
Underutilized.
It
or
just
like
felt like very
underbaked.
Underbaked. Yeah. Like you could have had a bit more of that. You know, that old nature druid that didn't really lean into at all.
Well, to be honest, thinking about it now, Michelle Rodriguez's like emotional arc. She didn't really have one either.
She accepts. She accepts that her ex moves on.
Yeah, but that's like one scene.
Yeah, and it was like nice. Other,
like whereas Simon and Chris Pine actually get this developing multiple points of sort of evolution over the course
I'm
of the story.
With, and so the daughter, and I guess Chris, and I guess Chris Pine.
Michelle Rodriguez kind Michelle of piggybacks Rodriguez. On like
you've got
Chris
that
Pine's
kind
one,
of thing of like. Hey, you know, I just want to, you know, Chris Pine, I just want to bring my family back together. But it's like, dude, you've got the family right there.
Yeah, come on, brother.
And, you know, I thought that was kind of, you know, that thing of being like, I just wanted my wife back, but you know, I'll bring back your mother.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
felt a bit, when he brings back Michelle Rodriguez.
That was so funny because it was so obvious.
Well, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is coming. And then I was like, whatever. That was probably maybe my least favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
I was like,
same.
And that's, I mean, that's just me maybe being cynical. I don't know. But like, where I'm like, okay, so I kind of predicted the moment they got the tablet of resurrection. I was like, oh, I bet Michelle Rodriguez is going to die.
Sure.
And then she does. And I'm like, oh, now this is the scene. But then they had to like full on, like there were like so many, they did all the flashbacks to Michelle Rodriguez, like growing. I'm like, I know she's coming back. So what's the point of this? You know what I mean?
Well, that was more Chris Pine realizing that,
that was,
she was.
I saw that as his flashbacks being like, oh, this is her mother.
Yeah, I guess. That wasn't about like, she will be missed. That wasn't that scene.
Yeah.
That was more of a Chris Pine being like,
yeah. I suppose I was just like, oh, he's there already, but I suppose, no, maybe not.
Yeah, he wasn't quite there.
Yeah, I sort of was like, oh, he's kind of had that realization. And then I was like, are you kind of belaboring the point? Like, I get it.
Really like the heist, how they just met, they did like a little sneaky heist film in this, and how they did it all.
They heist the heist movie.
Yeah.
Or heisted not having a heist
they
movie.
They inceptioned a heist movie.
Yeah, they inceptioned a heist movie.
But I quite liked how they did all that. It's just like I thought it was like, okay, cool. They've got this like little doohickey that, you know, and then they were thinking with portals.
Yeah, that's right.
And I quite liked how they kind of were like, okay, yeah, how do we get in there? Oh, wait, we don't need to get in there. We can just get something. We can sneak something in there that has a portal. We'll do that.
That's very creative. Yeah. I like that. And then I like the reveal of, oh shit, we're in one location, you're in another.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I quite like that. Quite like the Forge's like motivation about like I want to be rich.
It was
just
good.
Like money. Thank
Just sort of please like a scumbag,
you.
And that was okay.
Scumbag millionaire.
Scumbag millionaire.
The opposite of
slumdog millionaire.
Yeah.
Scumbag millionaire. Stole a guy's daughter and then off he went.
I like how we once again where we kill the 1%.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, does he die? Oh no, he gets captured.
He goes to jail.
When the Red Death, whatever comes down.
Kills all the wealthy.
Kills all the wealthy gamblers.
Oh, right, yes. That. I thought that was going to be a combat scene, because they get God.
Yeah.
So they're like zombie fuckers.
But they never showed up again.
No. Well, at least whoever's money they distributed among the people,
they're not missing it. I quite like that Forge, despite being a scumbag, was like, I'm still going to raise this girl.
Yeah,
I thought that was
a little bit of depth. He's like, obviously you can see why he's doing it.
Yeah.
That scene where he's like, it's kind of like being a god.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I get it. You're doing it from narcissistic reasons. But like, you, despite lying to her, have clearly looked after her. I don't know. It was like, it's just, a little bit of depth to the character.
Yeah. I thought like the pendant where she, like the daughter was wearing when she was invisible, I thought that might have played a bit more of a role. During the middle section, especially when it's like, you know, oh, I'm leaving you. And
honestly thought she was not a very strong actor.
Yes.
I think they were very clever not to put her in. Because that scene at the end where she's crying over Michelle Rodriguez, kind of a very emotional moment, was kind of ruined for me by very fake sounding sobs.
I think the necklace of invisibility or whatever worked exactly how I thought it was going to. Ending, I was like, and then Michelle Rodriguez, then the little girl will have been invisible and stab her in the back or do something to her. She did. Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
I had a good time with it.
There's not much else to say, really.
The criticisms I have is like, look, at times there's a bit of a weird pacing issue. At times it just kind of felt like both equally rushed but a little bit slow.
I think for me, then, yeah. it had the vibes of like the kind of movie I feel like you don't really get so much anymore, mm. where it was just like a kind of whatever blockbuster. You just mm. enjoy it. You're like, that was a great time.
Yeah.
Oh well. It didn't feel like it was part of. Even though again, it is Dungeons and Dragons. It's a subsidiary of Hasbro or whatever. But it didn't feel like it's part of this monolithic thing I need to be concerned about. Yeah. Like, oh, the sequel and then the prequel. Yeah. It didn't feel like it had any of that. It was just like it kind of felt like going to the movies. This is gonna make it sound like I liked it. Like this is gonna make it sound like I'm sucking it off, but it feels like when you go to the movies as a kid a little bit, where you're like, I'm just going to the movie to be like, whoa, and then I go home and I don't think about it anymore.
It was nice being sold the movie I was watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
as opposed to the next one, there was no setup for the next one.
No.
And what I liked about this one was, and what I'm hoping happens with this one is, you have like Dungeons and Dragons, colon, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing to do with the characters that were in this one. And we're seeing a new set of adventures set in that same world in that same time period, which I quite like as a sort of a concept if they want to make more of these particular films. Because I thought it was really, it was a nice,
was
very much self-contained. It felt like a nice, like, lived-in world.
Yeah.
I really liked the tone. I liked what they were doing with it. They were like, right, we want to make a bit of a stupid comedy set in this sort of fantasy world. And so we're not going to take ourselves really serious, but we are taking ourselves in that world serious enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was the kind of thing where it's like, I wasn't blown away. I wasn't like, I wasn't on the edge of my seat the whole movie.
Nah.
I wasn't like...
I happily got up to piss again.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. I needed to piss like maybe 10 minutes before the ending, and it was good enough that I was like, well, I'll see the ending. You know what I mean? So like, but...
High praise.
Yeah. So yeah, it wasn't a religious experience, but it was like, heaps of fun, which is...
Sure.
So untrue for goddamn so many goddamn movies these days. So you got to appreciate a blockbuster that tries, I think, you know?
Yeah. And it was nice seeing like a well put together fantasy film as like someone who was a fan of that genre. Before Lord of the Rings, we had Willow.
not Bedazzled. No.
The animated Lord of the Rings.
So one
with Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Well, Dragonheart. We had Dragonheart.
Yeah, Dragonheart.
Sean Connery plays dragon.
Oh,
is there
another one with? Oh wait, no, that's also Dragonheart. Dragonheart's got Sean Connery playing the dragon, and then what's his name playing the guy? It's like a he's a Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, it does have Dennis Quaid.
And then post Lord of the Rings, you had. Aragorn? They made a movie of Aragorn.
Ooh. Are we talking about good ones? Because Aragorn shouldn't go on.
No,
love Aragorn, but it shouldn't go on the good ones list.
What good? I guess Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
I've heard the Lord of the Rings series is good.
I've watched maybe an episode and. Yeah.
Fantasy's not for me, so.
How's the dream?
We Conan, didn't say Conan.
Conan's
great.
Conan is good.
House of Dragons, real good.
House of Dragons, good.
Yeah, I've heard.
This
I've
feels like we're setting really ourselves good. Up to get like a bunch of messages in the Facebook group of people being like, here's 8,000 fantasy movies
they're
you should watch.
I'm not thinking very hard on fantasy. I actually know there's ones before and after that I adore.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to remember too hard.
Hey, that's fair enough. That's a right amount of effort to put in, I think. Yeah.
So again, it was nice seeing, the last kind of like fantasy film I remember seeing in the cinema, maybe it was like Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
And that was hot shit.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's nice, to come out being like, that was nice.
It was fun.
It was a fun time. Dragon, it was good. Man, comparing this dragon to, like, say, Shazam 2 dragon.
Yeah, I know.
The difference in terms
just the
of like
of character this
yeah,
one
personality
had.
Personality and character that you can kind of get from like a very small scene.
Absolutely,
versus bullshit that was Shazam 2.
God.
A bad film for bad people.
Terrible movie. Ugh. Truly
kinda
atrocious.
Like Shazam 2 the review 2.
Any closing
final
thoughts?
Final thoughts. I don't know. All I can say is that it was a fun time. It was an enjoyable time. I feel like I've been to the movies heaps recently for Baseless Speculation. I feel like just like a bunch of movies are coming out now. We're getting into the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
And so many of those movie going experiences I wish I was asleep for. But this one, I was like, I was happy to be awake the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a pretty glowing review from me. So
it's really feeling like a backhanded compliment.
All of mine are.
You compliment me all the time.
That's
no
true.
Backhandedness.
That's true. Those are real.
I architect, at least.
You mean neither.
No, those are real. For people, it's real. For movies, it's backhanded.
I'd agree. A bit of a rip snorter of a time.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, no, I had a great time with it. Had a good time. Maybe some of the characters there could have been a bit more baked.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe a couple of different takes.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe used a bit of acting juice in a few of them. But apart from that, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So I had a good time. I learned maybe before we recorded that it's not just out in cinemas. If you have an Amazon Prime account, is that right?
Yeah.
You can just watch it at your
home. It came out on Prime before it came out in cinemas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would have saved us some coin.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had to go to the movies.
I just assumed you knew.
I didn't. I just didn't.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Adam.
Now, Adam, where can we find you, you handsome sumbish?
You can find me screaming on most street corners.
But other than
that, you can find me at RetroArchetype on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Twitch. That's specifically twitch.tv/RetroArchetype.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I am on D&D is for Nerds, a show on this year network. You can probably, whatever method that you're listening to this right now, you can also probably listen to D&D is for Nerds. You'll figure it out.
Yeah,
find it on
the
website.
Yeah, it's got some hella handsome folk in that show as well.
Yeah, beautiful boys
sure.
in there too. Nice. Check them out.
Yeah.
This has been another episode of Baseless Speculation.
Base reaction, you fucking moron. Don't embarrass us. Embarrass us in front of
this.
We're embarrassed in front of Adam, fuck.
Yeah,
you fuck.
We are the Base Reaction Boys.
Fucking idiot.
We're going to David at the movies, you.
Oh, no.
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspants Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.